Well, it is 11 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. It is Halloween. And again, we thank you for setting your radios to 1550 AM. And of course, our signal streaming around the globe this morning and every morning on our websites, GrecianEchoes.com and WNTN.com. All your devices can pick us up. And always on time, also, Manny Frangidakis with his weekly market update. Manny, it's just you and me this morning. Stamati unavailable. Petro just had to leave. So let's see if you can guide us through today's session. And I know that yesterday the market, jumped up the Dow over 500 points. So what do we attribute all that to? Good morning.
Good morning. Kalimera, Teddy. Happy Halloween to everybody. I don't make too much of yesterday's move. We were kind of extremely oversold. We were talking about how we probably expected a fourth quarter rally to bring itself forward in the market this year, after a very tumultuous September, October, and August for that matter. So I think you're just seeing a slight bounce there. You know, you're dealing with earnings season. It's been okay. Nothing stellar, but, you know, companies beating, potentially raising guidance or lowering guidance. Perfect example is that is Caterpillar this morning had a pretty good beat, but then lowered their guidance for the rest of this year and going into 2024, meaning that they expect their sales to slow down as, potentially recessionary pressures make their way through the economy, not just here, but globally. Mm-hmm. But the big news is going to be what's taking place tomorrow. So you have two really big events. Number one, the Fed starts their meeting today. You won't hear anything until the press conference tomorrow at 2 o'clock, or at least the release at 2 o'clock, followed by Chairman Powell's press conference at 2:30. And potentially even the bigger issue is the bond market issuance that will be taking place tomorrow at 1 o'clock. The Treasury will be auctioning off bonds at different durations. Question here is, you know, where do we stand with the deficits? How much do we need to raise? But also, is there appetite at the moment in terms of the market wanting to absorb treasuries at this point in time? The reason why it's important, Teddy, is that if bond prices slip due to a lack of interest in purchasing these new release treasuries, then yields go up, which is obviously what the Federal Reserve has been trying to control through their Fed tightening campaign. But the bond market, as we said previously, is now doing moving the rates for them. So tomorrow will be a big day. I would expect probably muted reactions today as people just wait, because anything that comes out today, even geopolitically driven, will get trumped by what takes place tomorrow between the Federal Reserve and the Treasury's issuance.
Yeah, Manny, are we expecting another interest rate hike?
I'm not.
No.
I'm not, Teddy. I think some people believe that we are, depending on who you talk on Wall Street and where you look at the future projections in the bond market. Mm-hmm. I think we're pretty much where we are and where we're going to end the year at. I do think that the Fed is understanding that the financial conditions have tightened quite drastically, that the bond market is now moving rates on their behalf, and that economic and financial conditions have deteriorated in this country, and we're starting to see a slowdown in the economy. I do expect that consumer spending continues to drop pretty quickly. You know, we've talked about the student loans coming back in October. We're talking about inflation still sitting at 3.7% and 4.1% for the core, which is good news for the Fed that they've done enough action that they've lowered the level of inflation, but not good enough to the standpoint that we expect it to drop to where their mandate is. I do think it's going to stay sticky. And it's going to require the Fed to stay higher for longer. But we are optimistic that the Fed will be patient here and not push things too aggressively, as there is concern that you could break something in the financial markets, just given everything that's going on in the world, not just here, but geopolitically and in economies across the world. I mean, emerging markets, different places in South America, they're truly hurting. And if we're interconnected as we expect they are, I don't expect that the United States can stay an oasis of prosperity while things dwindle everywhere else.
Yeah. I got to tell you, the other day, my daughters, and you know them both, one of their close friends just got married and they saw a house that they wanted to purchase just this past week. So they saw it. They wanted to get pre-qualified. Manny, the best rate they could get, and they're both, two young professionals making very good money. You know, I think it was 7 7/8 was the best rate that they could capture.
Yeah.
And they just said, listen, we're going to wait. But
yeah, of course.
That's, with a buy down option of several points to bring it down a little bit, but nothing, you know, still in the high sevens, low eights even.
Yeah. No, I mean, if there's one place that you can certainly say that there is a recession right now, it's in the housing market. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't want to give up a 3% mortgage, so volume is way down, but it's causing housing prices to stay up. But, you know, banks aren't going to lend no matter what your earning potentials are, given where the cost of capital is. So it's just something that we're going to have to work through for the next 1 to 2 years. Eventually, we do think that, you know, the 30-year mortgage will find its way to 4.5% environment, but it's going to take some time to get there.
What kind of time are you talking in your estimate? I know you can't look into the crystal ball, but if you had to kind of guess.
Yeah, no, I think that you're on the onset of a legitimate recession here.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the numbers will start to play out that show and tell that story. I think it's going to take 2024 for that to really come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
But I expect that you potentially start to see some cuts in the federal funds rate come end of 2024, beginning of 2025. But they're going to be very slow to cut. They're not going to just drop it, 200 to 300 basis points in one shot. They're mm-hmm. going to go in the same increments of 25 basis point cuts, because their biggest concern here is losing credibility.
Mm-hmm.
So they cannot cut rates by 25 or 50 basis points just to have inflation spiral out of control again, because that will be detrimental to their credibility. So they're going to be very slow to maneuver rates as they continue to watch where core PCE stands.
Yeah, it's very difficult, you know, very difficult.
Yes.
Very difficult to kind of fathom, especially with what, you know, 3.5-4%, you know, was a great rate. Some people locked in under 2, for crying out loud. You know, and it wasn't really that long ago. So just a sure sign of the volatility that we're all facing.
And I do expect stocks to struggle. I do think that the market is overvalued here. Even though we're oversold in a short-term period, when you're looking out and you're trading at 20 times earnings,
mm-hmm.
With historical averages being closer to 12 to 15, I do think that, you know, the stock market is facing significant weakness for the next 12 months, maybe even longer.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Druckenmiller, one of the most legendary people on Wall Street, came out and said that he could, you know, potentially that the stock market could trade sideways for the next decade just to make up for the amount of QE that we did and the bubble that it caused between 08 to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So there's serious concerns on where this market goes. And what I guess I would tell listeners and investors is that this is the best time possible to take a look at, you know, where you are invested, how are you invested, what you think that means for you, not just now, but over the years to come, and then compare it to what you else could potentially do. So if you can do a financial plan that says, I achieve all my needs, wants, and goals in retirement and my legacy components with a 5% annual rate of return, then you don't need to take market risk here. You could buy a 10-year treasury and lock in that 5%. For the next 10 years. So there's certain instruments that haven't been able to be utilized over the last decade or two that, you know, have finally come back to levels that we've seen since 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take a serious look at what's under the hood of your portfolio, where you think the puck is going, and make those necessary changes, because come 2024, you could be looking at even more volatile markets, which will make that decision that much harder.
Mm-hmm. You know, the markets, at least the Dow Jones, is hanging around that 33,000 mark. Do you see it dropping substantially? Do you see it holding its value? Do you see it going up? It's stayed pretty strong considering it's...
Yeah, but you're looking at the Dow. Go look at the NASDAQ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then strip out 7 stocks that have accumulated to their overall performance. If you look at the S&P 500 on a equal weighted basis, is down 4.5% on the year
mm-hmm.
after a pretty bad 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, besides 7 stocks, which are your Facebooks, NVIDIA, Tesla, Apple, Alphabet, and Microsoft, most of the other parts of the market are down and down significantly. I mean, take a look at small caps. Small caps are probably the most attractive buy that you could potentially make right now, but it's going to take the economy to turn for those to really get to work. But at least you're buying at a significant discount mm-hmm. versus owning something like NVIDIA, which we've talked about, which is now 105 points below its 52-week high since the day that everyone started cheering that AI was going to save the world. So there's a lot of discrepancies out there. I like to focus on the S&P 500 because it's the largest companies in the United States. And I do think that when you look at the market here at like 4170, you know, could you trade down to 3500 in a severe recession? Yes, you could.
Well, what else we got? We want some good news. Give me some good news. Not around the Patriots. Nothing revolving around the Patriots, that's for sure.
No, God, no. Today's the trade deadline, though, I believe.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, what moves happen across the league. You know, and if the Patriots are in a rebuilding mode, do they send some key pieces out to start getting ready for a buildup?
Yeah.
But in terms of good news, I really don't have anything really that rosy right now, Teddy.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm trying to think of what it could potentially be, but, you know, given what's going on geopolitically, given what's going on economically here, there isn't too many bright spots to point at and be like, wow, you know, we're in a really good spot here. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Cash is still king, Manny?
Well, you know, utilize the yield. I mean, the yields are giving you a gift here. You know, treasuries, you save on state tax, you do pay federal, so that's even a slight kick up compared to what you're getting at a CD or money market. But, you know, yields are, you know, a powerful place to invest right now and hide out. And they give you optionality to continue, depending on which duration you choose, it gives you optionality to continue to take a look at where the globe and the economy is on a, you know, 6 to 1 month year basis and figure out, you know, is it time to dip my toe in, or should I just continue to clip a 5.5% rate, risk-free rate of return, which is a really good place to be right now.
You know, as I look at the social media posts, half of them seem to be, you know, various banks throughout the country, you know, offering, you know, short-term, you know, 6 month, 9 month, 5.5% returns. Are the banks making money on a short term on that, or are they just hoping that you'll, you know, bypass the 9 month threshold and then you know, drop down to something less? You know, are they?
It's a fight for deposits. It's a fight for keeping clients. Mm-hmm. You know, capital always goes to where it's treated best. In an environment where yields have popped to the level that they are, banks have to be competitive, or they're going to lose their client base. In terms of their profitability, no, they're not. They're not too profitable at this point in time, which is why you've seen the banking sector in the market decline as quickly as it did in 2023. Now, on a go-forward basis, I do think the banks are a great place to be invested, but in the interim, with what's going on in lending, with what's going on in corporates, with what's going on in layoffs, it's not, you know, it's not the best environment for an investor.
Tough job for you trying to keep, you know, everybody, you know, happy, I suppose, or you know, involved and engaged.
The one good thing I could say, Teddy, is we saw a lot of this coming. We were kind of prepared for it.
Yep.
Never easy to stomach downturn,
but
we're having a better outcome than what the market and what other people on Wall Street are having, because we were one of the first ones to ring the bell on inflation and that the Fed was behind the curve and that rates were going to go higher and stay higher than the market and investors were expecting. So it's not a, you know, a rosy environment where you're ripping unbelievable returns for clients, but at least we're extremely protected here and we're we're limiting our downside risk and getting ready to take advantage of opportunity.
Yeah. And those opportunities still do surface themselves from time to time, don't they?
There's a ton of opportunities. I think as one of the messages that, you know, and this goes with what Stanley Druckenmiller said, is that I don't think that being invested in the S&P 500 or in an index or in a passive investment is going to do you any good over the next 10 years. I think that this is a time and place where active management outperforms, and you're going to find opportunities on both the long side and short side of equities. And you're going to be able to play discrepancies.
Yeah.
Because there's certainly things out there on Wall Street that are not priced to fair market value, and there's certain things out there that are priced extremely expensive to what fair market value is.
Manny, always, first of all, always, you know, completely in tune with what's going on, sharing that news with our listening audience. We're grateful. 12 Points Wealth Management, Manny Frangidakis, 617-212-8343. Again, 617-212-8343. Manny joins us each and every Tuesday right here on Grecian Echoes and brings his knowledge to our complete listening audience. I'll give you the last closing comment today, Manny.
The let's see what happens tomorrow. It certainly should, you know, be an interesting end to 2023 and going into 2024 with the presidential election, you know, slated on the calendar. But first and foremost, we have to get through the, you know, the events that we have right in front of us, which again, tomorrow will be the FOMC. So Chairman Powell will dictate most likely how the rest of this month goes, you know, what November looks like and potentially how we wrap up 2023. But that's going to be the big event. And it's going to be, you know, compared to that, earnings, everything else will be muted. And then, you know, got to see what happens geopolitically and how quickly this can spiral out of control, because I do think it has the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, yeah. Be vigilant. Everybody be vigilant. Manny, thank you so very much. And we do this each and every Tuesday for our Grecian Echoes listening audience, thanks to 12 Points Wealth Management and Manny Frangidakis. Manny, have a terrific afternoon, and we'll regroup shortly.
Thank you, Teddy. Great speaking to you. You do the same.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll